Find me somebody to love. Find me somebody to...
Dreams beds aren't shy. Come on, guys, join in.
Can anybody find me somebody to love?
If anybody can find you a bed to love, Dreams can. Our experts won't rest until they've found the perfect one for you.
Big finish!
Anybody find me?
Dreams. Let us find you a bed that loves you back.
Smashed it.
At New Balance, we believe if you run, you're a runner. However you choose to do it. Because when you're not worried about doing things the right way, you're free to discover your way. And that's what running's all about. Run your way at newbalance.com/running.
Everybody, welcome to the Drop in the Gloves podcast. Thanks for joining us here March 18th. Tim's in North Carolina. I'm Trevor City. Tim, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. I'm looking forward to this episode. We got something a little bit different that'll be a lot of fun.
Well, before we get to that, how was your weekend? It's Tuesday. This new format of the show, I feel like I don't talk to you for large periods of time. When we used to do three episodes a week, we talk every day.
Yeah.
And now you have a life, you have a wife, you have a dog, you have a beanie. You're gone. You're dead to me from Friday to Monday, and I don't like it. So okay. I'm adjusting.
I'm glad you brought that up because I wasn't going to, but we got a lot of questions, a lot of little jokes in the DMs about the beanie and whatever, and it's all funny. Then you went to an event this past weekend, and Knuckles Nylon and posted a picture with you and another guy, I forget who it was, in the locker room, and you zoom down at your feet and you've got like these weird flip-flops with like wool socks or something. And I got a whole bunch of people being like, John's going to make fun of the beanie and he's wearing that combination. What are those? So I just know.
Oh, that's funny.
That I didn't post that and I could have, and I'm just taking the high road and there's more room for me up here.
Okay. Let me just say this. If you're taking your fashion cues from me, You're not going to be good. But those shoes, so I woke up and I had to drive down to Detroit for this game because it was an alumni game between the Montreal Canadiens and the Detroit Red Wings. So it's in Fraser, Michigan. Great time. But I left early. I left around 7:30, 8 a.m. The boots that I was going to wear, my nice boots, I left them outside the night before and we had a little snow. So I'm like, damn it, they're all snowy. So I put them in the wheel well of my car and I put my slippers on. I get to the rink. I didn't feel like putting my boots on. I'm like, I'm just going to walk right inside. Just keep my slippers on. Lo and behold, I got dragged into some pictures and some things. And that's why I was wearing. Those are my comfy, you know, just around the house property kind of shoes, inside, outside. They're just very convenient. But your beanie still sucks. So I don't know why we're trying to deflect into me now. This is what people do when they're caught. They go, no, look at you, though. You're bad. You're bad.
It's John, like, no. We had several comments about this combination. So I'm just saying, I had to bring that up. It wasn't me.
Really?
Yeah.
People are so mean. So mean. I don't like it.
The picture's on Twitter, so go check it out.
So speaking of that, so I do this event, Tim, and it's old timers, right? Because these events, there's not the Detroit Red Wing alumni are trying to bring in the young guys. They got Drew Miller, Danny DeKeyser. They got, you know, Ian White. They have a couple, Eric Cole. So they have some younger guys, but for the most part, it's like Red Berenson. It's, who's the other guy? What's his last name? Redmond, Mickey Redmond. It's Dino Cicerelli. There's Darren McCarty, Kirk Moore. Like, it's the older crew. And what struck me, you mentioned Chris Nylund for the Canadians. All the Canadians are all very old. Mathieu Dandonneau, you know, it's 50 plus. And it's funny, before we jump on the air, Tim's just chatting. He's like, people were trying to do this Instagram thing with you. And what's it called? It's called pairing or live sharing,
collabing.
Or,
yeah, collabing.
All these NHL guys are trying to collab with me on my Instagram. And I use Instagram sparingly. I should use it more because it's a great tool. But what was weird in the locker room once was just like a sacred place of you go in, you get changed, and you just shoot the breeze and you catch up with each other and you just have a good time. And I loved it because I can pick the brains of these old guys, and I'm talking to the guy beside me, the Dubois guy who was drafted with Mike Bossy, and Bossy got picked after him, and the Rangers fans were up in arms because Bossy went to the Islanders and had a great career, and he didn't have that great of a career. I'm talking to a guy who played juniors with Sidney Crosby, telling me all these stories about how Crosby used to tape a stick every time someone touched it, and he was on this like 30-game point streak, and he's the backup goalie, and he stepped on Crosby's stick, and he sliced it, and Crosby didn't get a point in that game, and it was the only game all season, so he just felt terrible. And so all these stories that you collect, and that's what I like to do in the locker room. But it's changed, Tim, because you go in the room and now everyone's like, we need to get a pitcher. And then you can see him posting it. We got to get a pitcher. We got to get a pitcher. And they just go around the room and collect these little, not even memories. It's just try to get likes. And it's so disingenuous. And it just is like, what are we doing here? You're a 60-year-old man. And you need to get validation that you're here at this event to take a picture with people just to throw it online. I don't know. It doesn't make me angry. It just makes me like kind of sad. It's like, what are we doing? Like, is this Chris Nyland? Do you need to get a picture and throw it on your Twitter? And I love Nux. I never in a million years thought he would have just cared about this crap. So, and Tim's always hounding me. You used to hound me more to get content. I think you've just accepted your fate that I'm not going to do it. Because I feel like such a simp and such a punk. Just be like, hey, can I get a picture so I can, you know, post it on Instagram and get some likes so people will know I'm hanging out with you? It's like, I don't want to do that. So it's strange. And I wonder how that translates into today's game with the kids now who are always on their phone. It's glued to their hip. They have them on their watch, for Pete's sake. So I would like to be a fly on a wall in a locker room in today's hockey, where do they just have the phone in the stall? Is it there glued to their hip? They get off the ice and they check their phone right away, or is it, you know, a rule? Because when we played, it was like phones away, like leave them in your stall. But I don't know. Times are changing, Tim.
That would be an interesting question to ask, like a guy who's been on a few teams in the past couple of years, like how they treat the cell phones in the locker room.
Yeah.
There's probably not many teams or any team that have like formal rules like, hey, no using it between X hours or whatever, but it's probably just an unwritten culture that starts with the captains or whatever. And like, hey, we just don't do that here, you know? So that, or not, maybe everyone just does it everywhere. Who knows?
And maybe I'm just the old man, but to me it seems, it's even like going to a concert. I don't want to get into it because it's the sign of the times where you go to this event, even like my kid's stupid concert for like a choir where they're playing the piano. Every stupid parent has their phone up videoing them playing the piano. I'm like, why? They play for you every day in your house. Just because it's in front of people, you have to videotape it. And then you're going to go back and watch it.
Yeah.
What drives me nuts is I get home and my kids are like, because I'll video some things. Like I video the house to make sure the electrical's in the right place. So I'll video stuff that's good for me. My mother-in-law videotape, they're singing happy birthday. They have a birthday every year. Why do I have to document?
You know what I mean? Yeah.
It's like, and then I go back and watch it. Oh, there you're blowing out your candles. You're six. There you are. You're seven. Who cares? It's just like, oh, who? I read a stat one time and it was, and I'm sure everybody's heard it, but someone 50 years ago when they died, they had like maybe 200 pictures of them taken of them in their whole life.
Yeah.
And now it's like people have hundreds of thousands of pictures of them. It's a constant barrage of just me, pictures, take my pictures, let me see. It's not healthy at all, and I'm fighting against it, Tim.
Yeah, the concert thing drives me crazy too. Like, it's just there's two things about it that drive me crazy. The first is if someone's in front of you holding up a phone obstructing your view, and they'll do it for like the whole show. Like, what do you? And then if you're not really on social, but like if one of your friends went on Instagram, went to a concert, and they basically streamed the whole thing, they'll put up like 10, 12, 15 Instagram stories all a minute long, as if like everyone, you're gifting this experience to all of your followers. Like you're making their lives. Like, who is that for? I went to a concert like 10 years ago. I think it was the Lumineers, and they did, they had one of those, what's the song that's like, "You belong with me, you're my sweetheart." You know that one?
Oh, yep. I belong with you. You belong with
me. So they're like, they probably hate playing that song because it's one of those like huge radio hits that wasn't that good. And anyway, so they played that song like first. The guy came out and he was like, "Hey, we're going to play this song. I know you all want to hear it. There's probably a lot of you, but that's the only song you know that we play. But I'm going to play that song. Take your phones out and record it. Here's the deal. At the end of that song, we're all putting our phones away and enjoying the show." And we did it.
That's awesome.
You know? And so, I mean, I don't think I recorded it, but yeah, I like when they took charge like that.
It's nice. It's just, we gotta grow up. We gotta get with the times, Tim. It's just the way it works. But I don't know. Do you really want, and here's us talking where we're getting videotaped right now. Do you need everything documented? I don't think so.
No,
but maybe it's good. I'll tell you this. I did enjoy documenting my electrical work because I was out there last night putting switches in for the lights. And I was upstairs in the kids' room and I'm like, where is the wire that goes from the panel to bring the power in to all this area, to Ava's room, to the bathroom, to the hallway. And I'm like, did the electrical guy bury it when he connected it to the panel? Cause I ran all the wires and I just hour and a half trying to figure out toning it, hooking up tone and trying to figure out where the wires go. I came to the conclusion that I forgot to run a wire from the panel to the outlet. And I'm just like, how would I do that? And I went back and I checked the videos and I said, yep, I messed up. So I was blaming everybody else. And I said, I messed up. So now I have to like edit my design. I have to go and steal power from somewhere else and bring it in. But I'm going to be climbing up in the attic that already has blown in insulation. That's got to be 4 feet deep. So I have to dig down, find the hole where the power goes down, put the wire down, ship it up and over and try to find another hole. And it's going to be a disaster. I'm going to be covered in insulation. I'm going to get lung cancer just so we have lights upstairs. We just need to use candles. Like, kids are so spoiled.
That's a great transition because we're going to do a Q&A episode and I'll talk about that in a second. But one of the questions was like, which GM stares at their roster as much as John stares at his boiler or something like that. Oh, that was pretty good.
Nobody. Nobody does. So, my kids still are upset. They're like, you love that boiler more than you love me. I'm like, it gives me more. It gives me more than you guys do. Maybe be better. And you can be part of the boiler.
Yeah. So we're doing a Q&A episode. John and I were talking yesterday. And it's like a weird little stretch of the season where it's post-trade deadline. We've talked about the deadline and all the implications of it. And we're not quite in that final playoff push. There's a lot of exciting stuff happening. Like there's a lot of like, you know, just pushing for those final spots, pushing the first in the East. But there's only so much and so many times you can talk about Tampa won two in a row. They're 2 points ahead of Florida and right behind Toronto. It's just
like a little monotonous.
Yeah. So I thought we'd break it up a little bit and do a listener Q&A episode. And the listeners came through. We got a whole bunch to go through. I'm just going to rattle through them in no particular order and just kind of take this episode to just chat and answer these questions and hopefully have some fun with it.
Our Patreon's so fun. I just kind of scroll through while you're talking because I'm not listening to you. Some of the people will post some memes that are so funny. It was St. Patty's Day yesterday and someone forgot it was St. Patty's Day. Northman Dan forgot it was St. Patty's Day and Riley posted this meme of some old guy. It's so funny. If you're not a part of our Patreon, you're missing out. It's hilarious stuff. I can't say what he says. It was around 6:30 at night, Tim. And it was so funny. But anyways, we got some really good questions. Did you see it?
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. Yeah.
It's so funny. It's some old guy saying some explicit. It's so funny.
I do get a lot of, because I don't check it that super late and I don't go to bed super late. I go to bed early. I love waking up in the morning and I'll check Patreon. And there's like 9 conversations between 20 people, hockey and non-hockey related. It's a lot of fun.
You just got to see this meme. We got to post. We can't post it, but it's so funny. I don't know what it's from.
I think it's in that movie. I'll think of it. I know the movie. Anyway,
I'm
so let's
spit my coffee on the screen. I got to stop watching. All right. Yeah, we got some really good questions. So let's get to it. Okay. Or should we talk about how the Bruins got beat by the Sabres last night?
I don't think we have time. I don't think we have enough time for that.
Oh, for those of you in Buffalo. I'm going to Buffalo in 2 weeks to go to a Sabres game, April 8th. I'm going to go to the Hurricane Sabres game and do an appearance. Then on the 9th, I'm going to be signing autographs in the BFLO store. And on the 10th, I'm doing Ryan Miller's catwalk. Ryan Miller has a charity and they do a fashion show where you're up and down the catwalk. So I think I'm going to be walking in that with some other Buffalo Sabres and Buffalo Sabres alumni. So I'm going to come in for 3 days. It's going to be a Buffalo Sabres, John Scott extravaganza. My wife, hey, get that. And this is where I almost get divorced all the time. Well, we won't. I'm like trying to make it easy for her, right? I'm like, hey, listen, I want to go do this Buffalo thing. They're going to give me a bunch of money. I can go in. I can stay at my parents in St. Catharines, drive across the border on the 8th, the 9th, and the 10th. There's a game on the 8th. There's an event on the 9th, an event on the 10th. I want to help you. Let me bring some of the kids. She goes, that doesn't help me because then I just have the baby and I have to worry about the baby. And then I need someone to help me with the baby. And I said, well, I will leave the big kids to help you with the baby. She goes, it doesn't help me. I'm like, well, okay, what do you need? Who do you want me to take? And she's like, I'd just be worried that they're going to, you know, what are you going to do? Why do you want to take them? I'm like, it'd be fun. We can go to Niagara Falls. I can take them to the Butterfly Conservatory. There's things to do. I'm like, it would help me because I'm going to be bored during the day. And she just doesn't want them to go. And I go, what's the root reason here? She goes, I just don't want to be around your parents. I'm like, aha, we got to the core issue. And I said, why is that? She goes, I just don't know. I just don't like the idea of it. And I said, I'm going to be there. Don't worry. And she goes, why don't I just go with everybody? And I go, then I got to get a hotel and I'm going to spend $3,000. And it's going to defeat the purpose of us going. I'm going to go and make some money. That's it. I'm going to go work. She goes, I just don't know. And so it's just like this round and around until you get to the root cause. Does Julia do that? Beat around the bush and try to manipulate you before she says something that's, you know, that the reason?
No, she's perfect. We get along great. And I have nothing to add to that conversation.
Talk to me in 20 years. It's just, so there's little things like that where it's like, okay, I know that's not the reason because I just dissect her things, right? I need help with the baby. Take Ava and Gabriella. I'll take the other 5 and then we're fine. Well, how are you going to do? What are you going to do? I'm like, it's fine. And my parents have some extra rooms. And so I might just kidnap the kids and go. I think that's what it's going to end up happening. And then I'll get arrested at the border. But it'd be fun to go and take the kids. And here's the other reason. Because if I don't take them, I think I'm going to let loose because I haven't been home in a while. I think it could go sideways a little bit. And so I need the kids there to hold me accountable. It's like, I got to go home. Because if they're not there, then maybe I have a couple more beers and I get a hotel in Buffalo and I just stay there with Patty Coletta and Kevin Adams. And then, you know, I don't want to do that.
That's smart. That's smart. That's sacrifice.
It's hard. It's hard to acknowledge that. You got to know yourself. You know what I mean? And I think that's what it's like. You, Tim, you can't go to a bookstore because you wouldn't leave. You would just read all the books.
That's not a joke. That's true. I go to bookstores all the time and I keep buying them.
Q&A, baby. Let's do it.
Q&A. So in no particular order, we have a whole bunch of questions here. And let's get to them. The first one, this is from Dimitri. He says, I got to know, why do you dump on your book so much? I became a huge fan after reading all of your Players Tribune articles. And I read your book 3 or 4 times, loved it. Never understood why you hated it so much.
It's not that I don't hate it. It's a really good question because I feel like it doesn't represent who I am now. And that's the tricky part. When I wrote it, I was kind of not, I don't want to say embedded in my faith or this super Bible thumper guy, because I'm not that guy now, but I was just kind of trying to figure out where to go. And I was almost like, get this money, write this book as fast as you can. So there's things in it I don't like. And they are the truth, but it's just not how I want to portray myself. And maybe that's me trying to just edit who I was. And then the whole process, I didn't really care for. My ghostwriter was not great, Ryan Kazanov. He's a really well-known ghostwriter. I think he did a book with Michael Phelps and a couple other high-end guys. And I just didn't like the process to the point where I felt like I wrote 85% of it. And I paid this guy a big chunk of money to help me. And I'm like, he would always send me back edits. I'm like, this sucks, man. And it just became a negative instead of a positive where I should have just maybe waited and did the whole thing myself. And I would have enjoyed it more. Maybe I wouldn't have got enough money, but that's why I've gotten a lot of positive feedback from it. Cause I tried to be as honest as I could, but looking back, do people need to know everything about me? Probably not. You know, like there is some things that you can hold back. So that's why. That's the main reason.
Talk about the audiobook as well. The voice.
Oh, the voice sucks. So they don't even consult you for the voice. And it's this guy. Is he like British?
I don't know. He's just very like soft spoken, very different from you. So,
and I don't know why they did this Simon and Schuster, where I feel like the audiobook would have been 10 times more successful if they would have had me read it. And I would have been more than happy to read it. I could have went to a radio studio here, all the great equipment, and I could have banged it out in a couple days. But no, they hire this guy and if you're listening to a book, I get you want this serene tones and very melancholy and discomforting. But wouldn't it be nice to have the person who wrote the book? Because then you could have tangents and the book would be like 15 hours long. But I didn't like that. You can hear go to Simon and Schuster. You can hear it. But I guess I should push it more. But I just don't. I go to events like, do you want to bring some books for people to sign? No, I don't even have a book at my house of it. It is what it is. Tim's got his books everywhere. He's got one whole wall of all his books. Tim Wurzberger, In the Woods, Cabin in the Woods.
In plain sight. Buy a copy now.
In plain sight.
Next question. This is both for John. First question is your all-time starting lineup of players you played with.
Oh my gosh, that's so hard.
Teammates, right? Yeah.
Teammates. Let's start in goal. It's going to have to be Henrik Lundqvist.
Hello, I'm Alok Jha, and I'm here to tell you about A Voyage to Antarctica, the acclaimed podcast brought to you by the UK Antarctic Heritage Trust. With guests including Sir Ranulph Fiennes, Bird Girl, Dwayne Fields, and Dan Snow, we unearth Antarctica's hidden treasures. Hear epic stories of survival and adventure, and explore the scientific discoveries being made across this continent of ice. Season 5 is released every Thursday from late March across all major platforms. Join me to find out just how much Antarctica matters to us all.
Hello, it's Taser Black here, and my podcast, Free Shots of Tequila, is currently sponsored by Virgin Media Broadband. Ever had that moment where you've lost connection right when the movie gets to the juicy part? It's very, very annoying. Virgin Media wants everyone to have a smooth broadband experience. With super fast speed and reliability, they're making broadband seamless. That's why they've been awarded Best Broadband Experience. If you're fed up with your movies buffering whilst you're enjoying it, then switch today. Search Virgin Media Broadband. T's and C's apply. Virgin Fiber areas. See virginmedia.com/legals/awards.
On defense, you're going to have to go with... Oh, that's so hard, isn't it? Probably Duncan Keith. And on the other side would be Brent Burns. And then up front, I'm going to have to go with Patrick Kane. And then Marion Gaborik and Joe Thornton.
That's a good list. That's a good lineup.
I'm sure I'm missing out people, but that'd be a little bit. Playmaker, you got some speed and you got the size down the middle. Maybe that's a good lineup. I'm sure I could come up with something better, but off the cuff, that's it.
The second part of that question, was there ever a time you wanted to knock Tim out?
Well, no. You answer that question. Was there any time you ever wanted to just like knock me out or just quit the show? That's a good question. Well, has there ever been a time where you're like, screw this, I don't need this, I'm out?
No, I like the show. All the highs and lows. It's fun.
How many lows are there? Tell me.
Not too many. Not with you. It's more just like outside factors that you know who I'm talking about.
Oh my gosh. So listeners, you would... It would drive you crazy the amount that we deal with like sponsors and stuff. If we have a deal in place and we execute and they go, oh, we made a mistake on the contract, because they always put the fine print. They go, oh, we can't pay you that. And we go back and forth and they're these huge companies and they got endless amounts of money. It's just like, and they're nickel and diming us for like $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000. I'm like, just pay us. Just pay us the damn money. Well, we can't. So it's just, and Tim is in the world of business and he's always talking to people. It drives Tim crazy. Like you get very upset to the point where like, we're going to sue these pricks. Like, let's go. Let it go.
We're owed thousands by some of these brands.
We probably got 10 to 15 out there that we haven't been paid.
Yeah.
Which to spit and chicklets, that's just like an afternoon. You know what I mean? In the grand scheme of things.
Next question here from Tom. How do players and teams, quote unquote, do away games? Who packs the equipment? Who gets it off the train and into the rink? How and where is the equipment washed? Is there a skate sharpener in every visitor's locker room, etc.?
You bring all your equipment. So you have your own skate sharpening equipment, and trainers, especially equipment guys, are very particular of what they have. So you bring all of that with you, and they have big boxes that they just kind of all on wheels. You snap it up, you put it into place, take the lid off. There's your sharpening equipment. But when you go from the rink to the plane to the arena, it's typically after a practice or after a game. So you'll hang your stuff to dry, and then usually the trainers will come and pack it all. Or if it's a quick turnover and you're on the road back to back, you throw your wet stuff in the bag and then you put it on like a rolly cart, and the trainers deal with it after that. And the next time you see it, it's hung up in your stall and it's dry. So as players, we're super spoiled. Like, just say we're on the road on a back to back, we finished a game, I throw my stuff on the bag. Usually someone will grab it. One of the rink guys will grab it. But if I have to carry it, I'll carry it out into the, you know, hallway, and they'll take it away. That goes under the bus. They take the bus to the plane. We get on the plane. We start, you know, playing cards or eating or drinking beers and having fun. We're seeing all our stuff loaded. We get to the destination. We get off the plane. We get on a bus and we go to the hotel. The trainers take all the equipment, everything to the rink. They unpack it. They wash all the laundry. They get everything set up. So we're sleeping by probably 11 o'clock. They're at the rink till 2-3 a.m. getting everything set up, because it's a back-to-back. They got to get the jerseys. They got to figure out who's skating the next day. They got to get all the practice stuff set. The hours that those guys put in is incredible. They work so hard to make it so we don't have to worry about anything. It's amazing. And that's why they're treated very well, but they work like a dog, Tim. It's impressive.
How big is that staff? Is it like just a couple guys, or?
I would say on the equipment side, there's three guys. Typically, and on the medical side, there's probably three guys, and they just work like a dog, because you figure there's 23 guys, 23 hockey bags, there's all the coaches and all their gear, there's all the medical stuff they got to take care of, there's all their stuff they got to take care of. It is a full-time job, but just imagine all hockey bags, there's the jerseys, there's the laundry. It's all so heavy and cumbersome. They have it down to a science, and those poor guys, you try to treat them well, but boy, you got to love the game to do that. That's a tough job.
This one's for me. Which team, this is timely because Julia and I just moved in together last month. Which teams are learning something about themselves, like they're a couple living together for the first time? This one, I think, is probably an easy one for me, because it's the only team with so many new players that just isn't working, the Nashville Predators. We thought they were cup bound when they brought in Stamkos and Marchessault and Brady Shea. And so you think, okay, they're headed for... Everything's working on paper. It's beautiful, and it just does not work. And you've probably lived with a roommate or a significant other that it just didn't work. So I think that's an easy one for me.
But which one's working? Which new union and grouping is working? I would say like the Colorado Avalanche.
Yeah.
All their players they bring in, they brought in 6-7 new guys, and they're playing great. They're 8-1-1 in their last 10. Like, it's everything is clicking with that team. So
I would throw in Columbus there too, where you kind of proved this year that you're not a contender yet, but you're not as far away as everyone thought. And these young kids are pretty cool.
They've been sliding. They've lost four in a row. We're not going to get into hockey talk, but I think they're starting to fall, and it's that wild card race is really down to three teams: Rangers, Canadiens, Red Wings. So,
okay. If you could have a conversation, John, with any player from the past who's no longer alive, who would it be and why?
Who's no longer alive? That's an interesting one. I'd probably go with like a Toe Blake or someone who played a long time. Like, that would be an interesting one, just to pick his brain. What was it like, the original six? What was, you know, hockey like? It's, I don't know. What are you talking about? Like, what did you guys do? I don't know. Who would you pick? It's such a weird question.
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know. What? One more here before we move on to the next one. And this is one that you were really intentional about. Hey, John, this is from Nick. Hey, John, how did you manage to invest your career earnings to make sure you were able to live a good post-career life, not to worry about supporting yourself since you didn't earn some of the big dollar contracts?
Yeah, I was always a least paid guy on the team is $700,000-$800,000, which is a ton of money. So I think what helped me was I didn't sign a long-term deal. So I didn't have that expectations of, oh, I'll make this next year. I'll make this next year. I was always on 1 or 2 year deals. What I did was every paycheck came every 2 weeks. I took $10,000 from that paycheck and I just saved it. And I did that for 8 years. And so that adds up pretty quick. When you're done playing, you have this big chunk of money where you can just sit on it. And it was not my idea. It was my wife's idea. I'll be completely frank. So we did that every single paycheck, and that's helped kind of get us through right now where we're in the mix of it. We got 8 kids, we're building a house, and you know, times are tough. I'm just like everybody else where your income goes up, it goes down, and you're just trying to get through. So that was what we did. And then we always maxed out our 401k things we could put in. So every year they'd say, oh, we'll match this much to a certain amount. And I think it was $13,000 a year. And we would max that out right away. So we would give 13 and the NHLPA would give 13. So that helped out too.
But that's great.
I don't know, that's a very honest answer. Even giving you numbers, I probably shouldn't have done that. But yeah,
what we did. Okay. What was the locker room like during your tenure in Buffalo?
Initially, it was great because I came into that team and my first year was a lockout. And so it was a little strange. We got a late start to it where we didn't show up until Christmas. And we had a Stanley Cup contending team and with full aspirations of making a run for it. When you had Pominville and Vanek and Miller and Robin Regier and Christian Ehrhoff and all these high-end guys, and it just didn't work out. And then the change started and it was just chaos after that. Once they let go Lindy Ruff and fired the president, it was chaotic after that. LaFontaine came in, he left after a week, and then you had Troy Murray came in, that was a mess. Then you had, you know, Brian Rolston and Ted Nolan. And it was just a chorus, just one after the other. What else can go wrong? And at that time we had traded everybody and we started to lose, but through it all, we still had fun. And I think that was the hard part of it, where we knew we were decimated. We had some good characters in the room to kind of keep it light. Myself and Steve Ott were really kind of, and Patrick Coletta, we tried our best. Cody McCormick. So it wasn't ideal, but I think we made the best of a really crappy situation. We had some good young players that we could see we had potential in. So there was some potential there with Nikita Zadorov, Rasmus Ristolainen. There was Mikhail Grigorenko. We had Cody Hodgson. We had some good pieces, but it just, that was the start of the downfall that you see today, where the owner came in and just tried to throw a gazillion dollars at it. And he didn't really have a plan in place. He's like, money will get me success. I was there when he bought the team. He said, well, we'll have a Stanley Cup champion within 5 years. He brought in all these trainers from Europe, the big MLS, the Arsenal and Manchester United, all their nutritionists, and he changed everything. New locker room, new weight room. And it's just like, it did not work. We were not a soccer team. And it just, we started wearing heart monitors. We started having to eat all this crap. And it just wasn't what hockey is. It didn't work. And it just translated on the ice. And it hasn't changed since. So yeah, we were so locked in. We were going to win the cup that year too. When I came in, it was like, we got a great team. Ryan Miller was in his prime. We had an awesome first line and it just didn't work. It felt like when I went to San Jose, they just got swept, not swept, but they went up 3-0 to LA, and then LA came back and won 4 in a row. And I came in that room and everyone was like motivated. And then again, they stripped the C from Jumbo. They give it to Pavs. The coaches at odds with the GM, the GM's at odds with the players. And if you have that disconnect, it doesn't work. And lo and behold, halfway through the season, it just fell apart. Absolutely fell apart.
That's great. I mean, not good, but that's a great answer.
Yeah.
Thoughts on Liam O'Brien?
I'm actually surprised he's still in the league. I don't watch many Utah games, but he must be doing something right. He's kicked around for a while, so he's got a couple more years left on his deal. But this all stems back to my AHL time and my NHL time with the San Jose Sharks. He tried to embarrass me when he was with the Capitals, and he stuck his tongue out when I was playing in San Jose. And I should have just knocked his face off right there. And the refs come in, and then he tries to be tough, and I'm just like, who is this kid? I will kill you. I will honestly kill you. So that was the start of it. And then I go to the AHL and I get sent down to the Ice Caps, and he's playing on another team and he's just being his self. And I'm like, let's just fight. and he won't do it on the ice. And then I go to the bar afterwards, the green sleeves, and he's there with his whole crew, the whole team. And I'm there with like three guys. We're eating dinner upstairs. And I go right up to him. I'm like, now's the time. Let's go. I was so like angry with him. I don't do this. I'm like, let's go right now. Your whole team's here. I don't care. Me and you. Mano a mano, Liam O'Brien. And he just doesn't do anything. So I'm like, you're a coward, bro. And like, he's all show, no go. But I mind you, I was 6'9", 270. So he's a smaller guy. So I get why he said no. But it's like, don't make me a clown in your act. Like, just be respectful. That was a thing, a lack of respect. Him and Tom Sestino, both terrible.
What were some of the best pranks you were involved in, either end?
I would say the best one was in college, where someone put a dead deer in my room, snuck in the middle of the night.
I've never heard that one.
You didn't?
No.
We had some prank wars in college. I like, especially in the dorms where we had a lot of time on our hands. What instigated that? I took a dump in a bucket and slid it under my buddy's bed in college. And then I turned the heat up. And so he got back from class and the room was rancid, and it took him a while to find the bucket. So in retribution, he found a deer on the side of the road and he brought it back to the dorms and he threw it in a snowbank, and I fell asleep and he snuck into my room at like 2 a.m. and propped it up on my bed.
No.
I roomed by myself, and then he knocked on my door. And I woke up and there's a full on deer staring at me, and I freaked out and I ran out of the room, and there's a dead deer in my room. And so that was a good one. There's a lot. And there's a lot involving feces. Patrick Sharp, when I was with the Hawks, he was a prankster. So me and him would go back and forth. He would like get my room key and soak my blankets, and I couldn't sleep. So I'd go back to my room after dinner and be like, damn it, Sharpie, all my stuff is soaking wet and I can't like... You go down to the hotel at 9:30 and like, I need another room. It's so annoying. You just want to get in the wrapper and go to bed. So to get him back in Columbus one night, I saw he went to dinner with Kaner and Taser and all those guys. And I went and got his room key, which is a security risk. You can just go right to the front desk and say, hey, I'm Patrick Sharp. I need my room key. So I went in his room. Well, first I went to the ice machine. I got a bunch of ice and I filled up his toilet with ice. And again, this is, I don't know why I do this. I took a big log on top of the ice. And if you've ever dealt with ice, it floats. And so you try to flush it, you try to flush it, you try to flush it. It doesn't go anywhere because it's just sitting there. And then I turn the heat right up again. So he got back from dinner and he's got this log sitting there. Well, the joke's on me. He went to the front desk and got my room key. And he picked up my log and put it on my pillow. So I get back from dinner. And I'm thinking, I got him. I finally got Sharpie, like, checkmate. And I go in my room and it's crazy hot. And I go, oh no, oh no, what's going on? And I look at my pillow and there's my turd. It's been transferred from his toilet to my pillow. I'm like, great. So my only solace is he picked up my turd and walked down the hallway with it in a plastic bag. I'm like, so you did kind of handle my feces a little bit, Patrick Sharp. So yeah. And then, you know, you pass the time. I'm going to interview Marc-Andre Fleury later today, and he's Mr. Prankster. So it should be fun to, maybe I'll ask him. He only gave me 20 minutes. So I got to be really kind of precise, intentional with my questions, but yeah, good fun, Tim.
Okay. Let's do just a few more. Who was the most underrated stick up for your teammates type player in your time?
Oh, the most underrated stick up for your teammates, Duncan Keith. He would not take any guff from anybody. And he was, people always see the Sedin thing when he like cross checks him in the face, and like he was a nasty player, Duncan Keith was. And he's the all-star, he's a Norris Trophy winner, three-time cup champion, gold medalist. You do not want to get on his bad side, because he'll hurt you. He really will. And he was a nice, great guy, but just he had a mean streak on him.
Whose face hurt the most after you threw a punch? Hurt your hand.
Say that again.
Whose face hurt your hand the most when you punched them?
Whose face? Probably Cam Jansen. Because I would hit his head. Yeah, the hardest punch I ever took was Matt Kerchner from the New York Islanders. He hit me so hard to start a fight one time I don't know how I didn't go down. It was just, and I knew he was going to do it. You watched the Matt Kirkner fights. So he would always start with just a haymaker right down the middle. And I knew it. And I knew it was going to happen. And dumb, dumb me just like puts my chin out there and he buried me. I think I got concussed and I had to regain myself and took a couple seconds. I'm like, holy crap. That was a hard punch, but yeah.
Next question here. A lot of enforcers have customizations to jerseys. Did you ever have any?
No, I didn't care. I wasn't that, I already had the advantage of the height. You know, I didn't need anything else, but I played with a lot of guys who would put the front tie strap on or they would loosen the seams and this and that. So it would come off or they would do a lot of alterations to their stuff to make it easier to fight, you know, and they would cut the tie down in the back. So the jersey would come off or they would do this and that. I wasn't one of those guys that tinker with my stuff. You should see the skates I'm wearing right now. There's a hole in the toque. The whole blade is cracked. My sticks looks like it went through a weed whacker. And I just was never that guy. Just give me some gear. I'll go out and play. But some guys sit there for hours and hours. Just like Boogie, he would put tough skin on his hands and he would do something to his leather gloves. He would like chafe them up just so when he hit people with his gloves on, it would hurt. And then when he got into his fight, his skin was dry. So it would grab and cut. And then guys would put Vaseline on their face. Some guys would put like stuff like, I don't want to tell too many stories, but if you hit, like it would get in your eyes and it would burn your eyes. Like there's all kinds of stuff you can do to be effective out there. It's like a boxer when he puts something on his gloves and you start hitting him and it blurs your vision.
This one's from Ronnie. This is a little out there, but John, has a player ever flatulated while on the ice so loud that the guys start laughing?
I can't remember. People fart on the bench all the time and it stinks and you can tell. And like, come on, who did that? But I don't remember. Like, I can't remember on the ice. No.
How intentional is the mispronunciation of names on a scale of 1 to 10?
0. You know what it is? We're just talking about it so fast and I just say it. I have really good friends in Traverse City who I mispronounce their names. Like Oosterhausen. their name is like Oosterhaus or something. I always put an N on it and it's not intentional. I just do it. It's just like Dreinseidel. That's just how I say it. And I don't care. Pietrangelo. I don't even know. Is it Pietrangelo?
Pietrangelo is
Delangelo?
Yeah, that's another one.
So no, it's not. I'm not doing it for the clicks. You know what is intentional now? Just me getting after Ovechkin. I just do it because people think it's funny. I do it because people get riled up.
And you think it's funny.
I think it's great. Just like you with this whole World War II thing. I think it's so funny.
Last question. This is kind of funny, I guess, but what was your favorite moment? Nice.
Goes with the question that we just had.
Sure. Topical. That was John, just so everyone knows. What was your favorite moment as a Montreal Canadian? You had so many.
Didn't have many. My favorite moment was the last game of the season, which was the only game I played with them. I got to start the game and line up versus the Florida Panthers, and their starting right winger was Jaromír Jágr. So my last game I started, and I with Jágr, and he leans over and he's like, good job, big boy. Like, that was a great, great all-star game, great career, because he knew I was done. And I was like, thanks, man. You too. Like, that was cool to see him, because he was at the all-star game with me. And we kind of had this little bond. So
you too. We both had great careers. I think that's it for now. We covered most of the questions. The questions were great. Thank you guys for sending them in. I had a lot of fun reading through them and we'll have to do this again, maybe more often.
Yeah. We need questions for Tim. We got to dig deep on this LARPing thing. I think there's something there that he's not telling us, but I appreciate it, everybody. Thank you for the questions. Like Tim said, and we will talk to you later. We're going to have an episode on Thursday and then we got a Marc-Andre Fleury interview. It's a pretty big deal. So we'll talk to you later. Cheers.
Here we are, another train delay. Not a problem for Claire. Phone in hand, ready to play the free Coral Rewards grabber. Loose wrist, firm grip. Textbook. Oh, look at this. She's won herself 50 coral coins for free. But now, what to spend them on? Free spins or a casino bonus? And, oh, she's gone with free spins. Ooh. Lovely choice, Claire. Cash in coral coins for free to choose rewards you actually want. Coral, we're here for it.
18 plus UK. Participate in selected promos to get coral coins. Coins expire. T's and C's apply. Take time to think.
Hello, I'm Alok Jha, and I'm here to tell you about A Voyage to Antarctica, the acclaimed podcast brought to you by the UK Antarctic Heritage Trust. With guests including Sir Ranulph Fiennes, Bird Girl, Dwayne Fields and Dan Snow, we unearth Antarctica's hidden treasures. Hear epic stories of survival and adventure and explore the scientific discoveries being made across this continent of ice. Season 5 is released every Thursday from late March across all major platforms. Join me to find out just how much Antarctica matters to us all.